live all across the United States and Canada and around the world. We're on the air because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip you to defend the Bible and historic Christianity because truth matters. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And before we go to our callers today, I want to give you a quote. It's actually an epigraph in my book, Has God Spoken? And it's sobering. And I'm going to let it speak for itself, and then we'll go to our callers. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. Again, we'll be taking your calls in just a moment. But here's the quote. It's by the statesman Daniel Webster. And he said this: if we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we and our posterity neglect its instructions, neglect its authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all our glory in profound obscurity. So when I ask the question, answer it in my book, Has God Spoken? I'm talking about not just a important issue. We're talking about God's revelation. Is it fallible or is it infallible? And how important is it for us to learn to read the Word of God for all its worth, to mine it for all its wealth? The book Has God Spoken, available now to our constituency for your gift to the ministry, so we can continue doing what we do because truth matters. And let me say this, we do what we do because truth matters. And we oftentimes take horrendous blows. Not only so, some of the people that appear on this broadcast take horrendous blows. For example, I had William Dembski on this broadcast and shocked to see creationists like Ken Ham go after him by blatantly misrepresenting him, making it appear as though he supports theistic evolution, for example. Anyone that reads William Dembski and recognizes the stance that he has taken against neo-Darwinian theory, he has put his life on the line in a valiant way. But there are all kinds of people today, it seems, for whom truth does not matter. In fact, I was shocked to see that Ham wrote about me. Hanegraaff calls the young earth creationist belief that evil and death resulted from the fall a false assumption. And nothing could be farther from the truth. That is a blatant misrepresentation. What I call a false assumption is not that evil and death in the world resulted from the fall. I believe that all evil and death in the world stems from the fall. In the very tape he cites, I make that crystal clear. On the broadcast he references, I point that out. In fact, you can't miss that point. And yet you have Ken Ham blatantly misrepresenting it. What I call a false assumption is that the fall necessarily preceded in time all natural evil in the world, such as the suffering and death of animals. And there's a reason for that. And I clearly explain that reason in context. God acts transtemporally. In other words, God is unbounded by time. I'm not going to belabor the point, but my fear is that people oftentimes get caught up in sensationalism. And unless you know discernment skills today, you can fall for the bloggers who misrepresent reality, misrepresent truth, and in the process cause all kinds of unnecessary rancor within the body of Christ. I have stood faithfully against Darwinian evolution. I have stood faithfully for the notion that Adam's fall accounts for all evil in this world. And it is unfortunate that we live in a time where a lie can spread halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on. If you love the Ring of Truth, stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. We will not compromise. We will not retreat because truth matters. That's one of the reasons I wrote, Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's divine inspiration. I believe the Bible to be the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. And I think it's critical that we learn to read that Bible correctly, properly, literally, recognizing the literal principle of biblical interpretation. I also think that it's important that we stand together on essential Christian doctrine. There are secondary issues we can debate, and iron sharpens iron. But there's no need for unnecessary rancor within the body of Christ. There are a lot of people hanging on already, and again, the number to dial today, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. The Christian Research Journal, a magazine that also stands for truth no matter what the cost, available for your subscription on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Let's go to the phone lines. First up is Samantha, listening on KCIV in Fresno, California. Hi, Samantha.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. Okay, so can you tell me who's right? I've heard that the Earth is 6,000 years old, 10,000, and 13.4 billion. So I was wondering who's right.
Well, I think to answer that question, Samantha, what you have to do is you need to recognize that God has left clues in the world that he has made. His invisible qualities, his divine nature, his eternal power are clearly seen in what has been made, said Paul in Romans, so that men are without excuse. So God has left us clues as to the age of the earth. Now, there are people that say that the earth is 6,000 years old, and they do that by trying to figure out the genealogies in Genesis predominantly. And through that, they come up with a time grid that they can measure from the time of Adam to the time of the second Adam, Jesus Christ. The problem with that is the genealogies are incomplete. And we know that by testing Scripture in light of Scripture. In fact, I've actually laid this out in a new book that's going to be out later on this year or early next year, the Creation Answer book. But one thing we can say is you cannot tell on the basis of the Bible that the world is 6,000 years old. Now, if you look at the world that God has made, there are some clues that the earth may be older than that. For example, we face the reality that nothing travels faster than the speed of light, and that billions of light years separate us from distant galaxies. And that leads logically to the assumption that the age of the universe is measured in billions rather than thousands of years. There are other things we can look at as well, like star life. Star life doesn't demand a lot of conjecture, Samantha. You can look at a star being born, as it were. You can see a star in midlife, and you can see a white dwarf star or a star that has burned out, a dead star for all practical purposes. And when you look at those stars, you can start to measure how long it takes for a star to go from infancy or birth to becoming a white dwarf star. And that gives you a time parameter as well. There are other things that people can do to get an idea of age, and that is look at the sequential layers in the formation of ice cores in places like Antarctica and Greenland. And they seem to point to an Earth that is older than 6,000 years as well. So again, these clues are clues that we need to take seriously. And in the process, we need to make sure that we don't make arguments that compromise historical apologetics. And what I mean by that is there are ways in which we demonstrate certain things to be true. The resurrection of Jesus Christ would be a great case in point. We believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ is something that we can show through a defense of the faith, through historical apologetics. We could build a cumulative case for it so that we can know that we know that we know that Jesus rose from the dead and we too will rise from the dead. But if we start making arguments for the age of the earth that eliminate constancy in nature, for example, then what we come up with is an argument against historical apologetics, which can now be used as the double edge of a sword against the Christian faith. So we have to be very careful about using the right kinds of arguments that correspond to reality. How old are you, by the way, Samantha?
I'm 11.
Oh, 11. Wow. So these are things. I mean, this is a great time for you at 11 years of age to do a couple of things. One is to be careful to learn how to read the Bible, so that you don't read unintended meanings into the text, that you don't superimpose your ideas on the text, but that you actually get from the text what the author is communicating, because the author ultimately is God. And the second thing is we have to do every discipline that God gives us to do well, whether it's arithmetic or science, whether it is biology or social studies. We have to be at the forefront as Christians. We need to be at the lead as Christians, using our mind, the gifts God has given us, so that we can reach the world. Because ultimately the truth, Samantha, is this, that every single person is either going to spend an eternity with Jesus Christ or an eternity apart from Jesus Christ, and that's the real issue. So we need to be careful apologists, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect, and we should never compromise. For example, people that believe in theistic evolution are making a big compromise because the evolutionary paradigm does not correspond to reality, and that's what truth is, that which corresponds to reality. Evolution simply cannot stand in the face of scientific enlightenment, and yet people hold it because they don't want to be accountable to God. Ultimately, they want to do things their own way. But God has made clear to us that if we do things His way, we'll have peace in the midst of life storms, and we'll have a time in which God recreates the universe, a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness, no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order things will have passed away. Behold, all things are new. So at 11 years of age, you can start making a huge, huge difference by learning and always being ready to give an answer.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yes, that helps. Thank you.
Samantha, thank you so much for calling. And I am, as the father of 12 children, I love to answer my kids' questions. I love to see them equipped, my daughter Christina, who just went off to Wheaton, is probably a better apologist than I am, quite frankly. She's really studied to show herself approved. And she's not trying to answer questions because she wants to win arguments. She's answering questions because she wants to reach people. And she cares deeply about the souls of people. And so she's equipping herself. She's preparing herself so she can have a life that doesn't just mark time, but makes a difference. And all of us should be preparing ourselves to do that. Because God gives all of us a sphere of influence, and we want to be prepared within that sphere of influence to make a difference. And only from the perspective of eternity will people fully know how their lives can be used for His goodness and His glory, because then we'll see the reward. We'll be back in just a few moments with more of your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. Right back with more of your questions.
With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust, all designed to equip you to defend the faith and deepen your discernment skills. Search for articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man online, or a 3-minute Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer Bible questions. You can also connect with us by signing up for our e-newsletter and receive special benefits. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Don't tune out. The Bible Answer Man will return in a moment.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Nancy Piercy addresses how the flawed worldview of secularism fails to explain human life and experience, how the hookup culture falls short of its promised liberation, and why biblical morality is not arbitrary in her article, Sex, Lies, and Secularism. William Dembski's article, Old Earth Creationism and the Fall, answers how Adam's sin could be responsible for the natural evil, including animal suffering and death, that preceded the fall. Other topics include a summary critique of Sam Harris's The Moral Landscape, What the Walking Dead Can Teach Pro-Lifers, a review of the film The Tree of Life, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. As Christians, we believe that the Bible is God's inspired word. But if God has indeed spoken, then we ought to be able to demonstrate that the Bible is the only infallible repository of what He has said. In Hank Hanegraaff's memorable work, Has God Spoken?, he gives you the tools to do just that. Through Hank's unforgettable acronyms, you'll learn and remember the truth about manuscript copies, the archaeologist's spade, prophetic stars, and much more. The special memorable snapshots at the end of each section will keep the facts at your mental fingertips for a lifetime. We would like to send you Has God Spoken? As our way of saying thank you for your generous support this month. Donate online at equip.org or by calling 888-7000-CRI. Let's return now to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank.
Thank you very much, Randy. Right back to our phone callers. Next up is Eddie, listening on WCRT in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Hank. I enjoy your show, even though I'm not a Christian. I think you do a good job with what you do.
Thank you.
It's not difficult for me to see why Ken Ham would be put out with the notion that acknowledging a billions of years old universe with animals before humans and effect preceding cause would be troublesome to him and to many other fundamentalists. And I think of Henry Morris with the Creation Research Institute. And as somebody outside who disagrees, I really have to side with the creationists and say that if it's not the straightforward way that it's been presented for all these years and understood, once you find things that sort of collapse or you have to work around, like the old age of the universe, you know, I can see where people would say that's most of the way to evolution. It's not hard to see why he would object. And I guess the B part of this is simply that from an outsider who often argues with Christians, it's not hard to pick you all off when there are so many divergent opinions on what fairly straightforward things like Genesis 1 mean.
I don't know if it's straightforward to a lot of people, unfortunately, because they haven't learned the art and science of biblical interpretation, and therefore they're reading meanings of the passage that the passage isn't intended to communicate. But remember, the age of the universe does not help the evolutionist. To say the Earth is billions of years old doesn't help the evolutionist in the least.
Well, sure, it does, because microevolution is apparent to anyone who knows about germs. And with billions of years, you do have time for much larger shifts in form.
No, you simply don't.
It's one of the basics.
You simply don't.
At this time.
No, you simply don't. That's simply wrong. You couldn't form a simple protein molecule through random variations, shifting out natural selection.
And you, as well as I know that people of goodwill, of good faith, with good knowledge, argue both sides of that question. It's not as though they're making it up out of whole cloth.
Well, I think they are. I think they are. I don't think. I mean, this is not a hard thing to figure out mathematically. The probability of a single protein molecule being arranged by chance is statistically 1 in 10, with 161 zeros behind it, and that's using.
It depends on how molecules behave in the long run, and obviously we're not going to solve that whole debate right here. Better, you know, minds than.
Well, what I'm simply saying is that there is not enough time for evolution to work, and we're going to be dealing with this in some detail in the month to come, where we even deal with such things as metamorphosis within the caterpillar that becomes the butterfly, that goes through metamorphosis, becomes a butterfly. And so essentially you have a dead end for evolution there in the chrysalis itself. But there's ample evidence that evolution cannot stand in an age of scientific enlightenment. And this is one of the reasons why I have been so strongly voicing my disgust for theistic evolution. I think when the evolutionary paradigm is ready for a fall, because we live in an age of scientific enlightenment, people are trying to prop it up with false notions like theistic evolution. And for Ken Ham to say that this is something promoted by William Dembski, not just supported, but I should say actually promoted using his concept, how he's communicating in his blog. This is just utterly false. This is not what William Dembski stands for. It's certainly not what I stand for. And I think it's the worst of all possibilities, quite frankly. If you want to believe in evolution, but don't blame God for it. It flies in the face, and we're talking obviously about macroevolution here, not microevolution, but it flies in face of the facts. The fossil record simply says no. Ape-men fiction frauds and fantasies abound. I was looking at USA Today. They were trying to argue the evolutionary paradigm, and there you see the ape-men icon again. Chance has no chance, as I said, to form a simple protein molecule by random processes, much less a cell or a chimp. The Earth, the cosmos itself screams out that there is an intelligent designer. Every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. The basic laws of science, not to mention common sense, fly in the face of this notion that's being purported. Evolution simply doesn't stand in an age of scientific enlightenment. I've written a book about this. And by the way, while I might have an evolutionist on the program, I wouldn't have one that is supporting evolution go without a challenge. If I had an evolutionist on the program, I would be challenging that evolutionist. I wouldn't be supporting or promoting the work of evolution. I've been doing this for 22 years, and for this show to be so blatantly misrepresented is quite frankly sad. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Clint. He's listening on KYAK in Tri-Cities, Washington. Hi, Clint.
Yeah, hey, how you doing? Hey, I just want to pray for the guy that was before us that God would lift a veil off his eyes to see the holes in evolution, because there's just no way that all these things could fall into place, happen chance, and I just pray for that guy, honestly.
Yeah, pray and be equipped, because these are opportunities. I mean, this doesn't have to be a they siege mentality. This becomes an opportunity to reach someone with well-reasoned answers.
Right. I mean, I don't want to digress and change the subject too much, because it's really interesting. But the reason I called is I went to a Bible study last night. I've been going to for about a year or two. And I recently just left Calvary Chapel, and because I've found stuff in the Bible, things in the Bible that I just disagree with the doctrine. But I've been going to this Bible study. The guy goes there, and so he still goes. And he heavily leans on grace and mercy. And I know we're saved through grace, and mercy is, we got to have mercy. God has mercy on us, thank God. And you know, it's nothing that we do by works to get our salvation.
Right, so your question is what, Clint?
Well, the thing is why is there so much doctrine out there heavily leaning on so much on grace, to where it just puts us that we don't have any responsibility, it seems like to me. You know what I mean?
Well, I've been to many Calvary Chapels over the years and heard the crystal clear presentation of the biblical gospel. But here's the deal. I mean, we have been saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And it is true that we cannot do anything but reach out the hand of a beggar to receive the gift of a king. So we can't work for our salvation, but certainly we do work from our salvation. And what we do now counts for all eternity. And certainly I have heard at Calvary Chapels as well the justice of God and the judgment of God against sin. So by and large, I feel in fairness to the Calvary Chapel movement, they have been clear articulators of the gospel over the years. I may disagree with some of the pastors on secondary issues, but on essential Christian doctrine, I think that they have done an amazing job of reaching our culture. So many people have come to faith in Christ through the Calvary Chapel movement, and to say otherwise would be to denigrate a movement that God raised up at a particular time.
Well, I wasn't meaning them so much about the grace thing. I disagree with them on the sinner's prayer, and I think that the sinner's prayer is absolutely wrong in the way that it's been abused. I mean,
well, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And to pray as a sinner, God, I fall upon your grace. God, I am a sinner. I repent of my sin, and I receive you as Savior and Lord of my life, is precisely what we should pray. And to pray that in public, call it a sinner's prayer, call it whatever you will, certainly is efficacious. God hears that prayer. He redeems those that pray that prayer. Certainly we're not talking about easy beliefism here, because when Jesus Christ saves us, he becomes Lord of our life. And the one who saves us begins to sanctify us. And so he becomes Lord of every area of our life, so that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then become reproducing disciple makers ourselves. Again, I appreciate your call, appreciate your opinion, but I'm going to stand up for what I know to be true, because I have spoken in many Calvary Chapels over the years. I've known many Calvary Chapel pastors, and I've always heard over the years the clear annunciation of the gospel, that you're saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, and you are saved unto good works, which is to say, what we do now counts for all eternity. And so I appreciate a movement that is clearly communicating the gospel. We're sinners, we have to repent of our sin, and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of our life. Want to go back to the phone lines? Well, I guess I'm not going to go back to the phone lines right now. We'll do so right after the break. Mention a couple of things that we have available. First of all, as mentioned before, Has God Spoken is for your gift to the ministry this month. But if you give a gift of $100 or more to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, I'll send you a personalized copy for you, a family member, or a friend. Or if you can join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, it would be deeply appreciated. You would join a large group of people that give on a regular monthly basis so that we can do what we do because truth matters. You can order or get your copy of Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration through the World Wide Web at equip.org when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you talk to our Resource Consultants, 888-7000-CR. I also want to mention the Apocalypse Code is now available on MP3 disc as well as MP3 download. And it is a wonderful way to get the information into your mind so you can cogitate on it. You can remember the information and then use the information. At the end of the day, a lot of what we've talked about today has to do with mining the Bible for all it's worth. Certainly, it is wealth encapsulated in the pages of Scripture that we should seek to mine so that we can grow in grace and so we can ever more be focused on the words of our Maker and our Master. Back in just a few moments with more of your calls. Remember to dial 888-ASK-HANK.
The Christian Research Journal is a magazine designed to ground Christians in their faith and sharpen their discernment skills. In the latest edition of the journal, William Dembski's article, Old Earth Creationism and the Fall, answers how Adam's sin could be responsible for the natural evil, including animal suffering and death, that existed prior to the fall. He proposes that just as the effects of salvation at the cross of Christ reach both forward in time, saving present-day Christians, and backward, saving Old Testament saints, so the effects of the fall reach forward and backward in time as well. To learn more, subscribe to the Christian Research Journal online at equip.org or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man will return after this short break.
God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer, or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Hank Hanegraaff's cover article reveals the key to unlocking messianic prophecy. A common objection to Christianity is that the New Testament takes Old Testament prophecies out of context in applying them to Jesus Christ. The answer lies squarely in understanding the role of typological prophecy in the Bible. Douglas Grotheis's summary critique of Rob Bell's controversial book Love Wins exposes the inconsistencies of Bell's ideas and his misinterpretation of Scripture in a way that is direct yet winsome. Other topics include a review of Todd Burpo's book, Heaven is for Real, What is the Unpardonable Sin?, the insightful Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Apocalypse Code audiobook is now available from the Christian Research Institute. Hank Hanegraaff reads the entire unabridged audiobook on MP3 CD. The Apocalypse Code will give you a better understanding of the end times, but will also teach you how to read the Bible for all it's worth. It will show you the key to understanding the book of Revelation is found in the rest of Scripture. Order the Apocalypse Code audiobook on MP3 CD or MP3 download directly from our website at equip.org. Just go to equip.org/audiobooks. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we return to our phone callers. Let's go back to the lines and talk first to James, listening on KARI in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Hi, James.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You know, I was talking to my grandson, he's 9 years old, and it was a general discussion to begin with, but he got specific on the fall of Adam. And the general discussion was from Genesis to Revelation, God has ordained a sort of a commandment or a law that all things must be tested and proven. And Adam and Eve were put in the garden, and Satan was also there, and the trees were there. God was proving to us, I'm sure, so many things, but I'm not really so sure, so I'm going to need help from you and many others, whosoever can help me. What was God proving about himself? Because his pertinent question was, if God made Adam, and Adam and Eve fell, then God made Adam and Eve with a flaw, or did he make them good or perfect or, you know.
Yeah.
So I said, let me just probe and I'll get back to him.
Yeah, and what a wonderful thing for you to do, research and return, so you can equip your 9-year-old. Is it grandson, you said?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, here's what's going on. God created humankind with what's called volition, which means human beings had will, so that Adam had the ability to choose to love God or to choose to reject God, to sin against God. So God creates the potential for evil by creating this human being that has the ability to choose to follow him or to reject his precepts. But if God had not done that, love would be rendered meaningless. Because for love to be meaningful, there has to be choice. So God, again, and you have to be very careful here with what I'm saying, and particularly as you're explaining it to your 9-year-old grandson.
Right.
God does not create evil, but he does create the potential for evil by giving human beings the opportunity to choose. Adam and Eve sinned. The beautiful story that unfolds from Genesis to Revelation is God's plan of redemption, so that God gives us an opportunity yet to be reconciled to himself. So that is what the biblical message is about. It is about God's unfolding plan of redemption so that we can be reconciled to a holy, righteous God whose eyes are too pure to look on sin, who cannot tolerate evil.
Well, you know, basically, I asked him the same question, how would you love me unless, you know, this is what God is showing, that he gave you the permission to fall or make a mistake, and then to prove my love to you, I let you fall in a way. Would that be okay?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's the basic idea. You have the opportunity to choose, and Adam chose to rebel, and yet God so wants fellowship with humankind that he provided a way of redemption that will ultimately lead to the best of all possible worlds, a world in which we will forever be able not to sin. So
the question is, had I, meaning Adam or my grandson, had I not fallen, I would never know God's love then.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
Adam and Eve did experience God's love. Adam and Eve, to use the biblical language, walked in the cool of the day with God. Now, that doesn't mean God has feet. It means that they had fellowship, loving relationship with God. That relationship is severed by sin, and it is restored through redemption. So God yet loved humankind so much he was willing to provide a way of redemption, a way of return.
Okay. Well, because the question also brought out something that Christ hung on the cross, and he says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the teaching of Christ was coming up that a fig tree can only give figs. It cannot give mangoes and pineapples. So, you know, when Adam was made, he was made with the option, sure, the choice, but why would he just choose not to follow God and obey his word of not eating from that tree?
Well, that's a question you and I can ask ourselves every single day.
Yeah.
Because every single day, every single day, even though we know and love God, we still violate his commands in big and small ways.
Right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, and God bless you people.
Well, bless you, James. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Beverly. They're listening in Beverly just dropped off. Want to go to Rich, listening on KSIV, Hillsboro, Missouri. Hi, Rich.
Yeah. You there?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't hear you. It started cutting out for a second. I had a question for you about salvation.
Yeah.
A friend of mine had told me that if you sin against God, you can be blotted out of the book of life. And I'm not really too sure what he's picking at as far as that goes.
Well, here's the thing. We all sin against God, but we are covered not by our own self-righteousness, but rather by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So it's a foreign righteousness, as it were, a righteousness not of our own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. And the Bible explicitly tells us, and these are the words of Jesus Christ, that if you receive Jesus Christ, if you are dressed in the white robes of his spotless righteousness, you will overcome. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life. And we overcome because we're in the overcomer. Jesus Christ is the one that not only justifies us, but sanctifies us so that one day we'll be glorified and we'll forever be able not to sin, as I mentioned to the previous caller.
Is he wrong in saying that, or as
yeah.
far as, you know, if a person commits an everyday sin, is he wrong in saying that we will be blotted out, you know, because he told me that, and I was thinking, well, that's not the God and Jesus that I read about in Scripture.
Yeah, because as Luther described us as redeemed sinners, we're snow-covered dung, which is to say that we're covered by the white righteousness of Jesus Christ, but we are yet sinners, and we sin every single day. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's righteous, he's just, he'll forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So yes, as those who are overcomers and the overcomer Jesus Christ, we still sin, but that's why we repent of our sin daily and ask for forgiveness.
Okay, so I had that just bugging and eating me, and I was like, well, I got to call you and get it answered.
Well, I appreciate your call.
I appreciate you, Hank.
In Philippians, Paul praises God for the confidence that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. And we have a promise in 1 Corinthians 1 that Christ will keep us strong to the end because he is the overcomer. In Ephesians, of course, promises us that we are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. And that's why I like to say the Lord's trees are evergreen. I want to go back to the phone lines now, and we'll talk next to Dale, listening on WTRU in Salisbury, North Carolina. Hi, Dale.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
My wife is doing a Bible study in Ephesians with David and Jeremiah, one of his books. And the question came up about angels. And I know Satan was in heaven. He fell, and he took a third of the angels with him. Is during that fall, how is it that he fell in heaven if heaven is incorruptible? And can angels still fall today?
Well, no, they have been actualized in their choices. So the demonic host actualized in their choices, as are those angels that did not fall, actualized in their service and worship of the Lord. We too one day will be actualized in our choices because we'll have requisite knowledge, which is to say, imagine yourself right now, you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you have a relationship with him, but you're still looking through a glass darkly. At that time, you're going to see face to face. So you're going to know him even more nearly and dearly, and as a result of them, that love him more completely. So as we transition from life to eternity, our love for Christ, our knowledge of him will grow, and the possibility that we would ever sin against him is eliminated in eternity. While we can still sin now, we're never going to reject the lover of our souls, but in eternity, we will know him face to face, as it were, and our love for him will just continue to grow throughout the eons of time.
So does the Bible talk about the point when angels became to where they can't sin?
Well,
when Satan fell to now, you're saying angels cannot sin?
Yeah, well, we know what the doom of fallen angels are. We know what the joy of those angels who serve God today are. But there are theological deductions that you have to make with respect to exactly when those things took place, and also theological deductions that lead us to the notion of requisite knowledge, even for ourselves, as well as for the angels.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for your answer.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. And what I'm going to do today is stay in the studio for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls. A lot of people calling in, a lot of people hanging on. So if you're hanging on, please be patient. I'll get to you in just a few moments. We'll come back and record an hour of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and I'll play that in a future edition when I'm traveling. So if you're hanging on, please be patient. If you're dialing in, the number to dial for the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. And again, if you've never been to the World Wide Web at equip.org, it's your destination site, all kinds of information to equip you to always be ready to give an answer. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. You've got to see it, quite frankly, to believe it. And get in on the current edition of the Christian Research Journal while we still have copies left. Subscribe today at equip.org on the World Wide Web. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 CRI. Again, I'll stay here for an extra hour, continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So stay tuned for that. For everybody else, we'll see you tomorrow right here with more of the broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer difficult Bible questions, and strengthen believers in their walk with the Lord. To find resources to help you, log on to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great War of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Have you ever been asked the question, if God is good, why is there so much evil and suffering in the world? As Christians, how should we respond to this question? In his book, The End of Christianity, Finding a Good God in an Evil World, Dr. William Dembski writes to make peace with three claims. God, by wisdom, created the world out of nothing. God exercises particular providence in the world. And all evil in the world ultimately traces back to human sin. In the process, Dembski brings the reader to a fresh understanding of what the end result of Christianity really means. The radical realignment of our thinking so that we see God's goodness in creation, despite the distorting effects of sin in our hearts and evil in the world. Order The End of Christianity from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.